church in the upper room, apostles were at it, and so much came out of it. The day of Pentecost took place there and such. But they never had much of an effect on the world until they were scattered. That's when that church really made its mark. Now, I've said for a while that in Pastor Haynes' 39 and a half years in Shingle House, that he probably came as close to perfection, and I'm not calling it a perfect church. God forbid, I'm not calling him a perfect pastor. But in the sense of the vision that God gave him, probably came as close to perfection as a pastor's going to get. And in that church, people learned how to have a home, how to have a family. Where Neil's talked about, he was raised with that. Okay, something he had, Ephraim was raised with. Thank God for that. Okay, stretches back even further. Okay, but the thing is, Neil wouldn't naturally put himself forward. I've met men who do, but naturally put themselves forward, and after they've done so, you wish they had. Okay, Neil's somewhat reluctant, but when put to it, that the years of heritage that resided in him, it'd be criminal to not put it out. It'd be criminal to not teach it. Criminal to not share it. So, and last time, Brother Neil sneaked, wait till I was on top. Now this time he didn't. Thank God. All right, I'm glad. But I got to listen the last time I liked it. So Neil, with no more ado, head on up there and whatever the Lord is giving you.
Do you want a mic?
You want the mic up?
Yeah, put the mic up. Yes, sir. Got it there.
Where is the mic?
Oh, here we are on national TV and we can't find the mic. Is it back here?
We're a long ways from perfection.
Key is getting as close to the top of your tie as you can. A lot of people put it way down here, but you want it up here.
Nice and tight, so I choke, right?
Yeah, and you can move. Little gift from your friend Mike Paul.
Thank you, Mike. I hope you trip going down the steps. Oh, this is not my comfort zone, I will tell you right now. I'm not getting any more comfortable. Is this fresh water, Zane?
Yep.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm gonna start right out with that. I have my parents here for the specific reason the pastor always can tell people they did a good job or a bad job afterwards, so I don't think you'll do it with my mommy here. That's what I'm hoping for. Anyways, Mike will tell you that my forehead's sweating because he already tested it out. So I have this. My tie, breast cancer awareness. All you ladies, do your part, please. My wife's grandmother died of it, so it's very important to her. It's also Pastor Appreciation Month, which
yes,
we've kind of forgotten, I think. So the gift is not for you, so I'm sorry. just thought I'd bring that up and crash you down quick. So the last thing he wanted me to do was how to find a Christian mate, and for younger people, I believe, how to find a Christian mate, where to look for a Christian mate. Again, what he told me to do, I kind of went off a little bit, so it... To me, there's an obvious answer, but we'll try to get to that later. The title is going to be The Path to Find the Right One. And we will, this is going to be a two-week deal because Pastor also mentioned a couple weeks ago that there was, I can't remember the guy's name, but you gave him three chances and he had three strikes and he was out. So I already had one. We're going to make this a two sermon, so three strikes and I'm out, hopefully. Like I said, this is not my comfort zone, but first, how we're going to start off is and I'm not sharing this story because my wife and I are better than anybody else. I'm sharing this story because it's the only story that I personally know. So, when I was going to Bell Run, which is where my parents go, I finally had come back to the Lord. And at that time started, I was fine being single. Most people won't tell you that, but I kind of was. This girl showed up at the church, a pretty good age difference, so it didn't even really cross my mind. Different people, hey, you ought to ask her out, you ought to try it. Nah, that's all right. There's an age difference there. I don't need that. That's not going to happen. Through time, kind of introduced to her more, but still that's okay. So my brother says one night, hey, this Ashley girl's got tickets to go skiing if you want to go. I said, no, there's no way I'm putting myself in that spot. I could, not to sound prideful, but I could tell she was interested. And so I said, I'm not putting myself in that position. So I said, no. My brother said, I will go with you. She has 2 free passes. We will go. We'll just ski. It's free. What the heck? So we did. 5 minutes in, my brother's binding brakes, and the rest of the night, I'm on a ski lift with this girl all night long. But it was a blessing because we got to know each other. Sitting, talking, skiing, and as we would come up a lift, and I shared this with the teams last week at Ellicottville, we came up one lift, and we would say to each other, which way do you want to go? Left, right, whatever. And so I said, which way do you want to go? She said, give me your number sometime and I'll call you. So after I picked my chin back up, we just kept skiing. I didn't answer that. We just kept skiing. But throughout that night, I could see it was somebody I was interested in. You can see qualities, such and such. So as the time came that I felt this was the one, I had gotten the ring, obviously, done all that homework, and that's where I proposed to her, was at that ski lift, where we got off, and the guy, just don't remember the guy in the ski lift, gets out because she was learning sign language, so I asked her to teach me, I love you, will you marry me? Just, you know, oh, how do you do that? So she taught me how, so I did that first, I got down and did the sign language, then gave her the ring. And the guy in the chalet at the top gets off and goes, way to go, dude! So, that's all I can remember. And the other fact was, it was a really cold night, and I was happy she said yes. I picked the ski resort because if she said no, I was going to ski one way, she could ski the other. I didn't care. So we did the ski resort. She said yes, and I was excited, and I wanted to talk about it. You see all the TV shows, they're all hugging and kissing and everything, and she's trying to beat me down the hill because she wants to get back to the ski lift because she, or ski lodge because she's cold. So I always pick on her about that. But so we're going to go to Philippians 4 is where we'll start out. And I have probably seven different ones. Like I said, we're just going to cover probably 4 today if time allows. They're all, Pastor Hain said a few weeks ago, it's important to use your points as the same letter. And I think you were using M, I think it was. So I went to P, so all of ours will be P's. And hopefully, and that's where we started the path to the right one. And we, Philippians 4:6, if we're there, read together, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number one, pray. If you are single, if you are even from the youngest age up, everybody dreams of being married someday, especially girls more than boys, but it's something it's always looked at, it's always thought about. But if you're not praying, you're not going in the right direction, in my opinion. In my opinion, this is all but forgotten today. You need to know God's heart on one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make. Even if you feel God has led you to him or her, it doesn't mean it's all going to be sunshine and candy when you get there. Now, that's kind of switching gears in the middle, but don't go into it blindly. You need to pray for the one God has for you. It's still not going to be, unless you're extremely blessed, it's not going to be sunshine and candy when you get there. Like all the TV shows show you and everybody wants you to believe, you're still going to have trials. Things are going to come up. When you first get married, the biggest trial might be which side of the bed you sleep on. But it can get to call 911. Somebody's trials. Sorry, this has happened in our family. So trials have happened where you're calling 911, and you got to be ready for that. Prayer is the only thing that's going to get you through that. And it needs, and it all needs prayer, and it should involve prayer every day. Don't just, I prayed for my mate, I got her, that's the end of the story. You still need to pray every day.
Amen.
For your family, for your spouse, whatever it takes. But it starts with you first. You need to be in the right place with God so He can answer your prayers. You can hear what He desires for your life. And the question is, what are you praying for? If you're a young person, if you're married, I'm sorry. You probably can leave if you want now. This is for the singles. But what are you praying for? Are you praying for yourself, for your desires, or God's desire for who your mate should be?
Amen.
Parents, what are you praying for? This is tough because I got two girls. What are you praying for? Yeah. Pray for your kids. Pray for their future, for their mates. And that they're being raised the way they need to be raised, because
it is
tough to pray for somebody else you don't even know yet.
That's right.
But you love your kid. You want them to have the best. So make sure you're being in prayer. Number two is peculiar. I forgot. I was going to say, it starts off with peas, and I was going to say, once you found the right one, don't say, please, will you marry me? I forgot that, so I had to sneak that one in. But be peculiar, and under my notes I have, be a balo. And this is not to cut down the balos by any means, please listen to me. Being peculiar is people knowing that you love the Lord, people knowing that you go to church, and balos every week walk across that yard. People see what they're doing.
I like it.
Even their family. Okay? So turn to Matthew 22. My wife said on the first time I didn't announce it enough times. So Matthew 22. Matthew 22. 35 through 40. Matthew 22, 35 through 40, the greatest commandment. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I want to focus on basically verse 37. Before you even think about marriage or dating, the focus needs to be on verse 37, which is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind.
Amen.
You have to be in love with God first.
Yes, sir.
That's all you need. You need to get to that point first. Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Once you get that, second is learning to love yourself so that you can love others, okay? If you aren't happy with yourself, don't bring someone else into that situation.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Young girls, young boys, they don't want someone who doesn't like themselves.
Right.
If you should be able to tell right off the bat if they don't like themselves, okay? But if they're not happy with themselves, it's going to be a long, bumpy road for both of you.
Right.
When we are in love, we seem to forget that our special someone has us on their list of priorities. But where? if they don't love themselves, they're not going to put you where you need to be. You need to be number two on the list. And we'll get to number one is obviously you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's number one. It's hard for people to realize they're saying, oh, but I love that person. Okay, but they're second. You got to put them in their proper priority. Nobody likes to be put in second position, okay? It's very important. God is first, then loving others as you love yourself. But be that peculiar person. Continue to pray. That leads to point number three, which is be patient in being single. It's okay to be single.
Right.
I was single till 32 years old. The pressure from society will tell you today, that's not acceptable. You have to be married. You have to be doing these things. Pressure is put on by everybody. There must be something wrong with you. People don't understand. It's going to be all right. The world will not end if you're not married by 21, 31, 41, 51. I'm going to stop there because I can't count any higher. In all seriousness, I was 32 before I got married, but it wasn't because I was patient, but because I was selfish. I was living for me. But I thank God I didn't just settle and get married. I could have been married a lot younger. I could have gotten married a lot younger because of what people thought. That I cared what other people thought. I would most likely be on my second or third marriage by the time if I would have cared what other people thought and got married and dealt with the pressure, I would have been married two or three times before I met Ashley, okay? It's okay that parents, and this is for you that are married, now this point, probably the only point for you. It's okay that your parents don't have grandchildren yet.
Yes.
Not saying to my parents, put that pressure on me. I'm just saying it's okay that your kids don't have you don't have grandchildren. It's better to have a single 32-year-old child with no grandchildren than a 32-year-old child with a slew of kids shuffling them back and forth among houses.
That's right.
That's good.
We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 7. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 7:9. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but even man have his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. He's talking about being single, serving the Lord. Verse 9 I threw in there just for the last part of it. And if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better them to marry than to burn. That burn, if I'm not mistaken, is hell, right? So don't put yourself where you might have to burn, okay? It is very important to stay single. Paul points out, if you're single, you have nothing holding you down so you can do the work of God. In that verse he's talking about, if he was married, he would have that holding him down. He would not be able to be as zealous for God as he can. So that also I take out of that is, if you are single, get on fire for God, okay? Use the time that you would have with a mate, with a family, whatever. Don't be wasting that time, be using that time. Get on fire, be that peculiar person, okay?
Good.
If being single is a stumbling block for you, then you need to pursue God, who God has for you. And by pursue, I mean on your knees, praying for a godly mate and working to make yourself the same. It doesn't matter your age. You can be 10, 30, 60, here we go with numbers again. We all need to be on our knees and patient to what God expects of us. Again, that goes back to if you don't love God first and foremost, how is he can't bless you with what the blessing he has for you, okay? Point number four, and this will be the last point. We might be out of here real quick. purity, and that, and I have for a definition, hands off the merchandise. Definitions of purity equals free from contamination or impurities, ritually clean. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 4. Just my Bible, a page back. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath the power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but his wife. Purity. You need to keep yourself pure. If it is too late, I beg of you to get it right with God. He can still use your life. He can still use what is left, which I'm not trying to say that in a bad situation, but he can still restore you, but you have to own up to it. You can't just gloss over it and keep going. Now, God designed, and I'm going to say this because there's kids here, relations, and I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, to be used in the proper time. That proper time is marriage. It was created to enjoy, but through time generations have abandoned what the Bible says. They have abandoned even the idea of purity. We as God-fearing people need to talk and to teach purity.
Amen.
This is different for every family. Even just talking about how we are going to train our kids in this aspect of dating, courting, being pure. Now, you can say, well, look it up in the Bible. I'm not going to say there's an actual scripture that tells you how you're supposed, if you should court or if you should date or whatever you're going to let your kids do. That's a family discussion, a parent discussion that needs to happen, to discuss what you're going to do or how it's going to work. You can go back to the Old Testament times when your mate was picked for you. And I'll use the Askus as an example. They could be standing out on their porch. A girl comes along and Tim says, hey, I like that girl. Pastor would say, bring an ox by and you can have him. They would do that. Next time, Sam's standing out there, hey, I like that girl. Pastor goes, oh. Two turtle doves, maybe? I'm sorry. Just joking. By the way, if anybody comes in here that's angry, I'm heading for that corner because that's where all our military guys are for safety. But
how about Stephen while we're at
just a little joke. But we could be back in that time. God's given you the right to pick your mate. I think maybe even back in biblical times, they did a better job of picking their mates because they knew their kids, they knew what they needed, right. What the Bible was being preached also in their families. They was going over the laws and they were going over the things and obeying the laws. Today, we have the right of picking our own mate. But that's where listening to God and what God has for you is so important, because you don't have somebody doing it for you. You got to do this. You got to make that decision for yourself. The only person you turn to is God. So we're going to turn back to the Old Testament, as long as we're talking to it, right back to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 39. And I'm pretty sure everybody knows this account. This is Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39. We're going to go to verse 7, start there. Genesis 39, 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that's the first point right there. The sin would be against God. If you get to that situation where you're thinking about giving up your purity before marriage, you're gonna sin against God. That's the biggest point that I want to stress there, okay? Verse 10, and it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And 11, he came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. Now, you read that, and it kind of, we can look at it today because we're behind this whole story. We can see that should have been a red flag, okay? We need to put red flags in our lives.
That's right.
If you put yourself in a situation where something can happen, more than likely that thing is going to happen. You've got to set your boundaries. You've got to be paying attention to the red flags. One comes up, change course, get out of there, okay? Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. The biggest point is he ran. He didn't stick around to see how far things could get.
That's right.
That's good.
And I'm speaking from personal testimony, so I can't be very proud of the fact I didn't run. Not with my wife. Prior to my wife, I should have been running, and I didn't. If you find yourself in a situation like this, you need to do as Joseph. Even if you need to leave your shirt, you need to run. Don't look back. Don't think. Just run. Your actions are a reflection of where your heart, soul, and mind are. Your mind needs to be made up. Run. You can't play games. Don't see how far you can get before technically losing your purity. You need to flee. You need to run. We're going to go to Leviticus 20. And this is just another warning, but I want you to pay attention to the words. This is going to be we're just going to do two verses. Leviticus 20, 10 and 11. And this is for married people. And these are all warnings for purity in marriage. We're going to go to Leviticus 20, 10 and 11. And a man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, an adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Huh, that's a pretty big price to pay for that.
Yeah.
Today we wouldn't even think about it.
Right.
Back in these times, if that was you, you were put to death. Maybe if we had that price to pay, we would think about it more. Verse 11, and the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be put on them. Again, put to death. We could keep going the rest of this chapter. It continues to talk about different situations. You shall not lie with this one, you shall not lie with this one. They all end up the same. You should be put to death. If we were in that situation today, I think a lot of us would hold our purity a lot more close
to
us.
Yeah.
Today, we don't think a thing about it. Well, I would be odd in people's eyes if I didn't. Yeah, you'd be odd, but you would be respected.
Right.
It's pretty clear God prefers purity, even in marriage. Don't think you're off the hook if you're already married. This message isn't just for those looking for a mate.
Right.
It's purity. It applies to us all. Purity does not own. Applies not only to the physical realm, but the mental and emotional realm as well. It is too late for me. Is that the question people are going to ask today? Is it too late for me? If you are in this path, near this path, thinking about this path, you need to repent. Ask God for power to stop and to flee from it. Again, you can take this point here, purity, and look back to number one and number two we went over, prayer and being peculiar. If you're praying about your purity, if you're being peculiar about your purity, it'll make it a lot easier. The present I got up here, I brought it up here so people could see it. We're going to try to make a little object lesson out of it, but this gift, this is a gift a man has, and a woman has on their wedding night. It's special, it's unique, it's only for them. What's, you know, everybody wants to know what's inside the present. It's your heart. On your wedding day, you only have one gift to give your mate. That's your purity. So if you're young and you haven't messed that up, I pray and hope that you never do, because that's the only thing you can give to your mate. So we're gonna have to, any present, we can't just leave it here. We gotta open it up and see what we got in it. And I'm pretty sure it's a box of Rice Krispies, but I'm not sure completely, but there's our wedding night. Two perfectly good hearts. That's what God designed.
Amen.
Yeah.
This one heart's got stuff written on it. Lusting after others. Viewing inappropriate images online. Having premarital sex. Getting to third base. Is there a difference between those two hearts now?
Come on.
That was the way God preferred it.
Yeah, that's good.
This is the way we prefer it a lot of times.
Yeah.
You're to give your one and true heart to your significant other. To my shame, this would be me when I got married. I couldn't give my wife a real heart. Kills me. I will live with it the rest of my life. So again, I say, if you have not lost your purity, I don't care what age you are, pray. Be peculiar, be patient, get the right one.
Amen.
We have three more that we will cover next week, unless I can talk my way out of it. We continue next week, but through this week, please take time to examine yourself and each of these PPAVs. How is your prayer? How are you being peculiar? And where is your purity if you are single? Please look into those this week, Pastor.